This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Jessica, sorry, welcome back to the show. Jessica, what I was saying before the break, are we not doing children a disservice by making up silly stories, you know, about when they are 6 years of age, when they say, you know, where do babies come from? You know, are we not doing it in a modern world where they have so much information and technology nowadays, which we didn't have? Are we not doing them a disservice?
I think if you keep using like the stork analogy and all that kind of thing, or oh, you were a twinkle in your dad's eye, and you know all that kind of thing, yeah, like because that's kind of infantilizing. Is that the word I'm using?
Yeah.
You're kind of infantilizing it when realistically it's just basic biology. You know, you say it the old-fashioned way, like oh well, mommy and daddy loved each other very much. They wanted a baby, so we made a baby. We have the organs to make a baby.
Mm. Okay. And where does the baby come from, mammy? Where does the baby come from, mammy? It's all ahead of you, Jessica, by the way. So where does the baby come from, mammy?
Your vagina. Like, you can say that. Like, it's not a bad word.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
It's the name of the organ. Like, it's not such a bad word.
Mm. And it grows inside mammy's tummy. Those things are okay to say, then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, stay there, because this is what people have a hang-up about. So stay there. To Seamus, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? How are you doing?
Well, maybe Jessica's right. Maybe we just have a bit of a hang-up, and we're all a little bit too conservative, and there's nothing wrong with actually progressing, you know, the SPHE and the, you know, the sex education when it comes to children, I suppose, in the latter part of primary school and the early part of secondary school.
Yeah, in some respects, but now I don't agree with teaching transgenderism and the type of porn material that they're trying to offer.
Seamus, getting back to what I was talking about. So let's just focus on the actual curriculum itself. I mean, it did need a bit of upgrading, doesn't it? I mean, we move on in time. There's no point in telling a child of 9 years of age nowadays that the stork brings the baby and, you know, you're a twinkle in your dad's eye and nothing to do with the private parts of the body, because all they've got to do is look online. They all have smartphones nowadays.
Yeah, well, you know, Niall, like, from my own point of view, I believe that it's important to protect some level of innocence. It's a short life, the life of innocence in the human life. It used to be the first 9 or 10 or 11 years, 12 years maybe. Now it just seems to be reducing and reducing and reducing. To what level does progression become progressive, rather, or to what level does it become regressive for society? I don't know. I don't agree with it. I'm all for protecting the innocence of child. I had a great childhood, thankfully, like one of the lucky ones. And I enjoyed being an innocent child up until the age of whatever.
Different world,
Seamus. When I look back in memory.
I agree, but we're different times.
Yeah.
You weren't exposed to it. You weren't. The closest I got to being exposed to sex when I was 13 years of age, a mate of mine got a Mayfair magazine because he was over in London with his parents. That was the closest I was going to say
it's all calf shown.
Yeah, Seamus.
Look at what the leftist lunatic agenda have done in the last 10 years, and I don't call it progressive. So no, I don't agree with this. I think at some level, children should be left innocent. They don't need this transgenderism.
Is that the only issue you have in relation to transgenderism? And there are many people who don't believe that kind of stuff.
Gender
ideology should be taught in schools. And if parents want to teach children that themselves, they're quite welcome to do so. But the thing about it is, we do have to progress, don't we, Seamus? You do admit that.
Well, yeah, you have to look at what is progression. Like, do you think there's 72 genders out there? That
no, I don't. I personally don't. No.
Well, the leftist lunatic.
No, I don't believe that should be taught in a school either. By the way, and what was it? Regina already said there was 9 genders. She's now gone back on that and said she's not too sure about that after all. Okay.
They clearly they're talking out their arse now.
Well, they are to a certain degree, right? But she's not a minister for children either. You're a minister for education.
Yeah.
So, but getting back to education in itself. I mean, we can't allow the internet to educate children. We didn't have the internet, Seamus. Jessica does, or did. We didn't have the internet. So the last thing you want is, you know, your child learning about something through pornography. Yeah, I mean, you want to tell them yourself how to do it. And, you know, I mean, child safety.
Where it's all extreme and illy.
Yeah, exactly.
Niall,
children as young as 9 are looking at porn.
Niall, can I respond to you?
Yeah.
The way I think we should be looking at it is, all right, there's a societal thing where governments and organisations have their part to play in censoring and protecting children in this environment, right? Mm. If you were to adopt the leftist, lunatic, progressive approach, well, just imagine a world whereby, oh, now children have access to bestiality and all forms of absolute
mayhem. Nobody should have access to any of that.
Let me finish my point now. They have access to all forms of mayhem and the debauchery online. And therefore, the leftist approach is, right, since they have access to it and it's too late now and we can't really control it, let's just roll with it and let it become the norm and then see what becomes of society then. Or else you go and take on the big organisations at a government level and censor it. Rather, I think they're trying to do it in Australia at the moment and doing a decent enough job as a step in the progressive direction in terms of what I would deem progressive. But this thing...
Well, I mean, no, I know the UK, for example, I mentioned earlier on to Laura, as in from Thursday night at midnight, if you live in the United Kingdom...
Find the innocent mind of an innocent child.
Okay. No, I'm saying to you, I don't know whether you think this is a good idea or not, but as in from midnight on Thursday night in the United Kingdom... You cannot access pornographic websites like porn.
Unless you have a passport or credit card, something that shows that you're over 18.
That's
and all.
Yeah, you have to use age verification. So you have to upload either your driver's license or your passport or something with your age on it. And that's since last Thursday night. A lot of people are giving out about it in the UK, saying that it's unfair on those who are adults that they now have to sign up to these websites just to prove their age. But it is to protect children. It's to stop. Because, I mean, I don't know how we ever got to a point where that sort of stuff was accessible to children.
It was just open for all, free for all.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if we go back to our day, Seamus, when we only had, you know, Mayfair magazine and those kind of magazines, they were on the top shelf and they were in plastic bags with over 18s written on them, and the guy in the shop wouldn't sell it to you.
Yes, I know what you mean. However, I keep going back to it, Niall, you know, you either try to do it the right way, as of what they're trying over there, or else this leftist, lunatic, progressive approach, I put it in quotes, progressive, is, oh, since it's all out there now, let's just roll with it. Norm. Well, okay. Look, the key thing is, look what the leftists have made norm to date. They've left the world...
I disagree with a lot of it, and I don't want to see kids be learning that in school. I think, look, if a parent wants to teach their kids that, they're their kids, they can kind of do what they want. To some degree, although I do believe there's a lot of parents out there quite neglectful when it comes to their kids. Stay there, Jessica. Thank you, Seamus. Let me just go to Gladys as well. Gladys, hi. How are you?
Hi, Mai. How you doing?
Good, Gladys. Yeah, let me get back to sex education, generally speaking. I mean, should relationship and sex education be something that, you know, 7-year-olds or 8-year-olds should be learning?
In school?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No. No. I think... keep it for what they're actually there to do, you know, sort of thing. Like, it's up to the parents to do their job, you know, sort of thing, and age appropriate, mm-hmm. you know, and they know their own child. They know their child. The teacher doesn't know the everything about their kid. And so I absolutely think that it's the parents' job. And if they can't, parents can't do it. Well, it's not really. I mean, the school aren't their parents. And so we had the extreme in our day that you learned about this kind of stuff sitting on a wall, you know, and fell off the wall with the shock of it all.
What we were told? Don't let a boy or don't sit on a boy's lap. You might get pregnant.
Yeah, my worst thing was, which turned me off religion forever, was they could get pregnant if you kissed somebody outside of church.
Yeah. Why? Why particularly outside a church?
And I did, and I spent the whole day in looking for forgiveness and looking for signs of presence.
Who did you kiss outside the church? Why do you want to kiss?
I don't know where that came
church?
From. I mean, you know, just with the intensity of my prayer, you know, sort of thing. Like, I mean, I'm looking for signs of what happened that day, and I do remember that really well. You know,
okay,
I mean, that's the wall nuts.
What about we're in a changing world? You know, the left will argue that we're in a changing world.
Yeah.
You know, there's different types of relationships now. People behave differently, I suppose, and identify differently. Is that something that we should be teaching children in school?
I think, I didn't catch the other guy's name, but I would agree with him. I mean, to try to hang on to their innocence as long as possible. And off you go and out and play and use your imagination and all of the things that make a happy childhood, you know, and before they're faced with all of the other stuff that's out there.
And I would agree with you.
As much as possible. Yeah.
See, I agree with you. Yeah, and that's what kind of Jessica's saying to some degree as well. And I agree with both of you in that sense. But the problem we have is that as much as 50% of parents might be very communicable with their children and talk to their children about certain things, the birds and the bees, particularly young girls when it comes to consent and all the other things that go on in girls' bodies, a lot more than goes on in men's bodies. I mean, there are a lot of parents out there who don't talk to their children about these things, who don't have that type of relationship.
Though, Niall, which just has absolutely, you know, think about how is this absolutely possible in this supposedly very progressive world where all of these, you know, things that I've never heard of that are out practiced. And yet when it comes to a girl having her period, there's shame involved, there's all of this
embarrassment,
you know, embarrassment. Why is that, you know, in 2025? What's all that about? How progressive have we become that if a woman's body, a girl's body changing is still, you know, seen as dirty, you know, not right, something to be ashamed of, hiding it, and you name it. And what has happened with the communal toilets and you name it, girls are not going to the loo, they're not, you know, when they get their periods, all of that. And yet they want to teach them and talk about all sorts of other shite that's out there that they don't need to know about. And yet, when it comes to just your bodily function, which is completely normal, it's full of shame and embarrassment.
Mm.
How? Why have we not ever progressed a bit beyond that? And I think it's because of porn and sex.
Not necessarily, no. I think the reason why there's still embarrassment attached to that bodily function is because it's a bodily function. Like, we don't talk about going to the toilet. We don't talk about, you know, having a poo or having a pee, whatever it is, because there's a little level of embarrassment about it. People still kind of have that little bit of quirkiness and weirdness about all of that. And I suppose it's considered, even though it's a reproductive system, it's considered a bodily function. And for that reason, I think there's always been a level of embarrassment about it. I don't think there's a level of shame about it. I don't know where the shame was, but there's certainly a level of embarrassment.
What's more in their line, though, Niall, to, you know, if they reach to eradicate that, and for boys and girls to know their bodies biologically and know what the functioning of their body, there's still boys and girls who have no clue how their body works.
Jessica, well, let me just go back.
Who have no clue.
Jessica, did your mom talk to you about that before it actually happened when you were 11 or 12 or whatever age it was when you first had your first period? Did your mom talk to you about it first?
No, well, I remember saying, like, oh, like, they say, like, they said in school, because, like I said, it's probably like fifth or sixth class, they're like, oh, they're going to say that I'm going to get, like, really bad stomach cramps and, like, blood is going to be, blood's going to come out of me. Like, why is that happening? And my mom actually, like, was able to just help. She's like, well, look, like, it happened to me when I was about 12, 13. She's like, I actually thought I was dying. Like, I thought I was dying, and it turns out it was just the most natural thing. She's like, it is going to happen to you. It's not, it's not the funnest thing in the world. It's not the prettiest thing in the world. It's like, if you need me or you need your dad, like, we'll get you anything you need. If you need Panadol, we'll get you a Panadol. If you need your pads or whatever, we will get that for you, no problem. You just tell us when it happens.
But I'm thinking of some, I know what Gladys is saying, because I think of some young poor girl who doesn't have that relationship with the parents. And all of a sudden that happens and they're terrified.
Oh, and it can happen out of nowhere. Like, to me, it happened out of nowhere. And I was like, oh my God, like, I actually felt embarrassed. I literally was crying and I said to this girl, I was like, I need to go home. I feel terrible. Like, one, because
and is it embarrassing? Gladys thinks there's still an embarrassment attached to it. Was it embarrassing? Do you find it embarrassing?
At first when I was still in school, yeah, because I remember getting up. I got them. It was out of nowhere. I got up out of the chair and we had the fabric chairs. They kind of look like office chairs with the little table attached. I got up. There was a huge patch.
Oh.
And all the girls are laughing at me. They're like, look at you. I literally wanted to die.
You had the worst.
So it's bad enough I felt like crap because me cramps were killing me. I had the worst headache. I used to go grey with them. So it's bad enough I had that. And then adding on about 29, 30 girls laughing at me as well. So yeah, like there was embarrassment, there was shame, but they were just immature brats at the time.
Absolutely.
The other way.
Well, okay. Well, then, hold on.
It's going to happen to you. Then we'll see who has the laugh.
Well, then that's important because some girls experience that at 8 or 9 years of age, even depending on its generational. I believe that if your mother had it early, you probably have it early. The same with menopause and all those sort of things. But so, I mean, well, then it's important, I'd say to you both, Gladys, as well, that we teach girls about that at a young age, because if parents don't talk to them about it, they need to know about it before it happens without them knowing about it, if you know what I mean, Gladys.
Yeah,
but I think
Niall,
but
they
don't know
where.
Go ahead.
Gladys, you go ahead.
that there is the need to know about the biology of it all, you know, sort of thing, that things that can go right, things that go wrong, things to look out for, and all of that, without, you know, sort of adding in all of the complications of the other stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the same way, I mean, we talk about girls that are talking about periods.
About their body.
But we need to also teach young boys about erections. Suddenly, you know, when they get an erection, they go, what the hell has gone wrong? Have I broke it?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know? So we do need
to...
Then it is important.
The bus constantly mortified with the newspaper over his lap because he couldn't help him. You know, it was just a natural function, and he was mortified that this thing happened every time he got on a bus. You know, like, what the hell? He thought something seriously meant to
you. Most blokes experience that, the bumpy bus ride, yeah, I have to say. Okay, stay there, Gladys and Jessica. Let me go to Nuala. Nuala, I think what the ladies are saying, that, you know, maybe you don't need to learn sex education, but I think it's important. Gladys and Jessica pointed out that at primary school, before you get to secondary school at 11 or 12 years of age, that you need to know about bodily functions. So we do need to talk to children about those things in school, don't we?
Sure, people have been having sex since the Neanderthal man walked the earth. What is the big thing about it nowadays? I was at, you know, when I was in college as a mature student, most of the mothers were, you know, they were 18, 19. And the psychologist, it was sociology, he started talking about consent and all the rest.
Mm.
So he said if two people go out for the night and they go home and they have sex, like, you know, is there consent there? And I said, nobody said anything. He was asking the question. The whole room didn't say anything. So I said, well, I said, if they went clubbing, the chances are they both have had shots and maybe a sniff of cocaine. Oh, and they come home with each other and they have sex. And they won't be. Well, this is reality. Each other the next morning, they wouldn't touch each other with a 40-inch pole. So, like, this idea that somebody says, oh, Mary, do you mind if I give you a kiss? That does not happen. It didn't happen 30 years ago, and it doesn't happen now. I think it's this idea. Where are they? Were they ever out clubbing around? Where did they ever go dancing?
This is the idea of consent. Yeah, we went by the kind of rule of thumb of what they call assumed consent by body language, I suppose. Isn't that the way it kind of worked? But now the government are now toying with the idea of changing some of the legislation to remove a protection that some people have still used in court, or some men primarily when they're accused of rape, what they call the idea of assumed consent, you know, which is body language. You know, that so because somebody doesn't object, well, then you feel that it's okay, and it's part of, you know, you get caught up in the whole romance of the whole thing. And that's what we kind of did. But now what they're saying is that shouldn't be the way, and you are right. They are saying you should physically, you know, verbally ask for consent. But that, to me, thankfully, I'm not in that situation, and I won't ever be again because, you know, obviously I'm not going out on the dating scene. But to me, that seems really difficult for both men and women, by the way.
Reality. People don't be saying,
do you mind if I kiss you?
Do you mind that? No, do you mind if we...
kind of takes the moment away, doesn't it?
If they've had a row, they might say, oh, do you mind if we have sex tonight? But usually people just kind of give each other a wink maybe or something like that, and they know, well, that's on tonight, you know.
A wink.
There's no such thing as kind of saying, Mary, will you go on? I mean, it's a bad marriage if you have to go begging all the time.
Okay, but getting back to sex education in schools, do we need to educate, you know, 6 to 11-year-olds in school about relationships, different types of relationships, sex education in an appropriate fashion? Do we need to teach them about that?
You need to teach a child how to drive a car when they're 7 or 8 years of age. They're not going to be driving a car in any way till they're much older, till they're at least 17 or 18.
Yeah, but that's not a fair comparison.
Understanding of it. I remember when there was family down our road and there was 19 kids, like, so they all knew everything. So when we were about, myself and my sister, about 7 or 8 years of age, of course you learned the facts of life from, you know, Sandra down the road.
but Nuala, that's not a fair analogy. Nobody drives a car till they're 17 years of age. You don't get 9-year-olds taking a chance and going, I think I'll have a quick drive of a car. You know what I mean? You can't. That's you can't use that in comparison to sex. People are sexually active. When I say sexually active, meaning masturbation or actually having sex, you know, once they're going to hit puberty.
Sure, look, I mean, I don't know. Like, say, there's too much of this kind of thing going on. People learn as the appropriate age of your, you know what I mean, of your development.
Yeah, but I didn't learn. The only thing I learned was, the only way I learned about it was from the schoolyard. And that was a kind of warped view of the whole thing. Say, well, hang on for a second, because I want to go to Joseph as well. I have to get to Barry too. Joseph, hi, how are you?
How are you doing? Well, thanks for having me on again.
Good. Joseph, very quickly, yeah, I had a warped view, like most people of my age, yeah, because we didn't learn about it from our parents or in school. So yeah, realistically, is it, you know, are we right to be teaching younger children now about sex education?
Well, you said there you had a warped view because no one taught you about it in school. Did you go out and sexually assault anyone?
No.
Not to lay that on you as an accusation. Most people, I mean, the vast, vast majority of young men and women who never got any sort of education on it did not go out and sexually assault someone, right? So it's not a case that, you know, we weren't taught and we don't know. It's that you have to have the sort of moral structure yourself to say, well, if I do that, the other person, how are they going to feel about it? And that's something you're not going to teach in class. You have to have that mindset from, I don't know, growing up in total and being in that situation 100 times. What they could and should do probably is, you know, don't teach the children, teach the parents. Go out to the parents and say, look, we're going to have you all into the school if you can come in someday. We're going to talk about, you know, what are you teaching your kids and what level do you think is appropriate? And here's, you know, what's going on, you know, in the school. And the school can handle the biology side of it, right? We've all seen, you know, what's it called, Nature documentary, one of the David Attenboroughs.
Yeah.
And the kids know what's going on. I mean,
So what age is it appropriate to tell a child that, you know, the baby comes from mommy's vagina and she comes from mommy's vagina because mommy and daddy sleep together and he, you know.
Yeah.
So when do you teach a child about that? Because they're going to see it on their phone when they're probably 11. So when are we going to teach them about it?
Well, I mean, again, that is up to the children and or up to the parents to decide when their children's ready for it.
Well, but it yeah, is. But yeah, but some. Before. Yeah, but and that's all well and good if you've got good parents. But a lot of parents are not interested. They don't care. Yeah. You know, they don't have communication skills with their children.
Well, look at this. We've also got parents who unfortunately feed their kids crap and they're horribly obese. Now, we're not saying the school should take over the nutrition and feeding of a child because the parents are doing a bad job, right? There's loads of other things that parents do a bad job at. And, you know, we're not saying, oh, well, the state or the school should take over because you're bad parents. You know, society just kind of says, look, you've got to figure out how to be a good parent. You've got to deal with the consequences of this, right? Now, in most cases, even when they're bad parents, they're not informing them about sex. It doesn't mean they're going to go off and rape left and right and center, right? That's a very different thing. They might be a bit foolish. They might act the maggot and they might, you know, embarrass themselves
but
in front of a girl.
Can I come back to very quickly what you said there? They're not going to go off and rape and sexually assault people. We did have a different type of society. People may not have been charged with rape and sexual assault, but we certainly had a different type. You go back 40 years ago, we had a very different type of a society where women weren't respected in the way they are now. I would like to think of the way they are now when it came to men and sexual habits. So realistically, you know, if we were to have the laws that we have today applied the way they are today to 30 years ago, a lot of men would have been in a lot of trouble.
Yes, I would say that. But at the same time, I mean, right now, the biggest problem we have is not that people are going around sexually assaulting each other. It's that they're not having babies.
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I've only got 2 minutes and I need to go to Bernie as well. Sorry, Bernie, for squeezing you in there. I was squeezing you in the end. sorry, Bernie. Go ahead. Do we need sex education for children in primary schools?
No, I think that's down to the parent. The parents are responsible for the education of their children in sexual matters.
But it's a different world. I normally would agree with you, and I normally do agree because I'm conservative, and I understand the point people are making, but it's a different world. It's not the world we grew up in, Bernie. It's a world where a 9-year-old now has access to, you know, naked women and men on their phones.
Well, I'm sorry, but Niall, I was taught that my sex education came from a nun and a priest in a Catholic school. And, you know, they showed us a video of abortions. They showed it, told us about our bodies in a very, very, very basic way. I still would have preferred if my parents had done it because I would have felt more calming and they would have reassured me. There was no reassurance in a class of women, girls, young 12 and 13 and 14-year-old girls, been told by a nun and a priest about the facts of life. but our parents weren't encouraged to tell us back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel it's important that a parent has a good reaction, a good communication skill with their children. Not every child, not every parent has developed those skills, unfortunately, but they have to be taught. The parents might need to be taught how to do it properly. But not, I would definitely say that parents should be only told about their sexuality through their parents. Because we don't know what leanings the teachers in the schools are, or religious bindings, or all those things. We don't know anything of that. Whereas a mother and father, if they're not sure of the answer, they will look it up themselves and find the best way to teach their child. Surely it's their responsibility. Surely we're not taking everything from the parent.
Okay, good answer. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Bernie. I appreciate you coming on today and talk to us. All right, now, lots and lots of people text in. We have loads and loads of messages. I will read out all your messages, by the way, at the very end of the show. Don't worry. Gonna take a short break, and we'll be back with you after this.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.